Streaming audio is made possible by Hungry Harvest, delivering farm-fresh produce and grocery staples to your door. Every delivery allows you to support local donations that fight hunger in the community. Learn more at hungryharvest.net.
It's time. You're listening to the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater on the Air. Sponsored in part by Baltimore's own Raven Beer, this ongoing series brings to your ears the best-known works from America's revered grandfather of horror and suspense. From room to room in the asylum of the mysterious Dr. Mallard, Poe's wretched souls describe their awful tales while they await the doctor's revolutionary system to treat and cure the mentally crippled. In today's episode, the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater on the Air takes on Poe's tale of what happens when obsession meets the creative impulse, the Oval Portrait. In our last episode, The Facts in the Case of Monsieur Valdemar, we found ourselves learning firsthand the awful consequences of trying to cheat death.
What is happening?
I command you to abandon your mesmeric state.
The room is shaking.
Valdemar, you will awaken!
What is happening to his body?
Now, Professor Mallard leads us down the hall for a conversation with another of his children. Please, this way, meet my next child, a melancholy case, I warn you. A great artist, truly great. He enjoyed most notable success, but an appalling incident occurred and his great renown disintegrated into notoriety. Maybe you read of it in the journals or newspapers? No? Never mind. I didn't know anything of him either until he was delivered to my institution in the black of night to remain here, incognito. Oh, but I am getting ahead of myself. You may not be aware of the appalling incident that surrounds our artistic genius, but you are nonetheless a person of the most refined cultural taste, I imagine. Am I correct? You are an aficionado of the arts, music, poetry, a fine romantic novel. And what of the bells arts? Sculpture carved in Carrara marble, wrought in potent bronze, paintings of landscapes, equestrian subjects, bucolic idols, yes? How about portraiture? Good evening. Are we disturbing the great artist at work?
Please, Doctor, do not mock me. You know I cannot paint anymore.
So you say. I've brought someone to see you.
Who is it? An aficionado of my past work?
No. On the contrary, an aficionado of my work. A convert to my system. A witness to my advances in the correction of the mind.
I am not an exhibit.
Oh, but you are, dear chap. For the moment, at least.
Portrait of the artist who has lost his genius.
Oh, this is something I cannot believe. Look at your hands, dear boy. Stand up. Show our visitor. Behold, a great artist's hands, full of life and vigor, so fascinating to behold. The strength in the grasp and the stillness in his eye. Touch his hand. Go on. You see? There's nothing wrong with him, physiologically speaking.
Ah, there's the rum. I cannot bring myself to create.
Oh, but it would do you the world of good. I provide you with plentiful paper and pencils, canvases and oils, brushes made from sable hair and hog bristles, all at my own considerable expense, I must add. And look, today I have brought some fruit for you to paint and some fading flowers.
The days of my constant commissions are over. I deserve no better. I am no longer the artist that I was.
Now, let us not despair.
I was lionized and celebrated.
If the world knew you were here, there would be a line around the block of people to see you.
Really?
Yes, of course. To see how far the mighty can fall.
Dr. Mallard.
I'm sorry, that was callous, but under my care, we will restore you to the heights of fame. Your former masterpieces still command a considerable sum, I understand.
Past works, which will increase in value when I am deceased.
Now, what tosh. You shall paint again. Riches shall be yours.
But what is money? What is value when the truth hangs over me eternally? I would that I were dead.
Ah, behold, the very picture of melancholy. Utterly fascinating, is it not?
I mean it, Doctor. Give me a prescription, a drug, something, a curative, anything to free me from this life
of torment. Now, we'll have none of that, thank you very much. Rather, take this charcoal pencil, take this sheet of paper, and draw.
Very well. I will try. Place the flowers beside the fruit. No, good grief, no, not like that. Permit me. There. And this here. Ah, yes, that is better.
Did I not tell you he was a genius? Even the way the man arranges some fruit and flowers, genius, isn't it?
Doctor, I'm not sure if I can...
Steel yourself and try.
Very well. I trust you, Doctor. I do trust you.
Good, good. As if he had any choice. You see, genius. But I know nothing of art. What about you? Do you approve? Is this genius? The shape and form of the fruit, the curve of the dying flowers, they vivify, they astonish, and all in the monochrome of charcoal on paper.
There. A simple sketch, just a still life.
But the true picture is the smile on your face.
Really? Yes. Yes, I understand.
It has changed your palette, my dear boy. A faint touch of rose red blooms on the pallid gray of your cheeks.
I am delighted. In a madman's cell, but free.
Wonderful!
Thank you, Doctor.
And now, another one. Another piece of paper.
Yes. Yes, what subject? The bed and chair. The bars on my window and the moon beyond. Oh, the petals that have since fallen from the flower heads.
No. How about... our guest.
I fail to understand.
Our honored guest.
What?
How about a portrait?
No. No.
Yes, yes. Like your greatest masterpiece, the portrait of your beloved wife. Oh, dear. I feared this might happen. Calm yourself. Calm yourself. It is essential that you calm yourself.
Oh, doctor, help me. Help me.
There, there. Take a moment. Reflect. Breathe. Good. Why don't you tell our guest your story?
I cannot face it. I cannot look upon that memory.
Nonsense. Besides, you will have to one day, sooner or later.
No. I want to be blind to that memory.
Be brave and tell our visitor about the last portrait, the one that brought you to me. Tell the tale of the last portrait, the portrait of your wife, the oval... portrait.
Ah, is it you, my dear?
Yes, my darling. Just looking in on you, you've been at it so long.
Well, you're just in time. I do believe I am about to finish. One final dab upon the cheek, and voila, 'tis done. 'Tis complete.
Ah, what fine work.
You think so?
Yes, your finest yet.
You met the young lady who was the subject of this portrait. Did I capture her essence?
Always, always, my dear. You capture for all time a moment of truth. Not some daubing on a flat canvas, but a captured figure who seems alive for all time, in reality and in truth. She will live and breathe now for eternity.
That is why they come to me, I suppose. My patrons, the commissions...
But you never flatter.
Oh, pander to their vanity? No, I couldn't.
That's why you are the best. Sometimes they don't even see themselves for what they are. But you always do.
They don't see themselves. I just paint the truth. Why cannot some people see it for themselves? I paint what is plainly before me, my love.
There is nothing plain about your art, dear husband. You are incisive, like a surgeon.
Oh, you make me sound cruel.
Never. Can the truth ever be cruel?
But I just paint their portraits. I do no harm.
Precisely. But you show the truth to the world.
How so?
Look at the portrait you've just finished. This young lady, beautiful like a Venus in vermilion. But her eyes yield a sorrow, very slightly, a gleam of sorrow, of melancholy. A picture of joy, of love, but also sadness beneath the surface. You do more than put pigment onto paper, color onto canvas, husband dear.
I just paint what I see, nothing more, nothing less.
The truth? I think you are approaching the height of your powers.
You think so?
Yes, I certainly do.
You may be right. I have never known my brush to flow so freely. Never found it so easy to find the correct curve and arc of the charcoal and sweep of the brush. Perhaps I am approaching my masterpiece.
Yes, yes, I think you are.
Really? Why, then, I know who I must paint.
Who, my dear?
Why, my muse. My angel, my life's delight. I must paint you.
Me? Are you sure?
Yes. Isn't it curious that I have never painted you? Most artists do paint their lovers. And even their wives.
You are faithful as much as truthful. Perhaps there is a reason why you have never asked to paint me.
Choosing my moment. To be at the height of my powers. And you tell me that I am.
And I will be the subject of truth.
Yes. Yes, the working title, Picture of the Truth. And it shall be you, my muse, my love.
Your wife adored you, did she not?
Yes, and I her.
It's most interesting. She was, in fact, an assiduous writer. After the incident, her notebooks were found. She detailed her husband's work like an annotated catalog.
Charming.
She did so meticulously. Technique and meaning, she deciphered it all. The truth, her favorite word. She was a formidable art critic, it would seem.
She understood me, Doctor. Not some quack like you.
Oh, a quack, is it?
Oh, yes. I wish you would let me paint you, you charlatan.
Very well. I defy you to do it. Here, take the paper and begin.
Oh, I shall paint you completely. A puffed-up popinjay, a medicine man, snake oil salesman, jackanape.
I'm waiting for my portrait.
I can't.
And don't forget, if you require some inspiration, I have something in my study. Never forget that I own the oval portrait, the portrait of your wife.
There we are. Now sit comfortably, my love, and I shall begin. Now, which canvas shall we use? Ah, yes, here. For you, we shall use an oval canvas.
I have never seen you undertake an oval portrait before.
Indeed. For my masterpiece, The Portrait of Truth, you will be the subject of the first oval portrait in the collection. Perhaps the only one. I am nervous.
It feels auspicious.
I shall begin. Should we stop? You must be tired. We have worked all day and half the night.
No, no. Keep going.
You look pale and hungry, but I am glad you have said that. We pursue the truth. We are stepping beyond trivialities and common cares.
Create, my love, create. The truth awaits us.
My understanding is that it was the most challenging painting he had undertaken.
I feel so close, and yet...
Then carry on, my love.
He slaved like a Michelangelo, creating the Moaning Lisa or a Leonardo da Vinci carving David.
Your essence still eludes me.
I shall sit here until you capture it.
Days of sitting, days of drafting and redrafting, days turned into weeks. They shut up the doors and windows. He worked by the glimpses of sunlight that penetrated the studio from dawn to twilight, and then candles all through the night.
Are you not tired or hungry?
No more than you, dear.
And he rejected all commissions. They began to live off bread and water.
A bit longer, I am certain.
I shall be as quiet as a church mouse.
Was she a good model, maestro? Did she sit still and quietly? Never a twitch, a tick, or a cough? Never a spasm of cramp?
Do not torment me, doctor.
No. We are talking about your masterpiece.
If you must know, she was a marvel. She worked as hard as me in the creation of the painting. Me, the artist, she, the sitter. Our joint creative energies, a focus on the truth. Why do you laugh at me, doctor? Oh,
I could never resist a little irony. It always tickles me. Tell our guest what happened.
After weeks of torment, sublime torment, the quest for perfection, the pursuit of the truth, we worked a particularly long, long day. We're both silent as I approached the end of the execution. I do believe I have done it. We have done it. The most truthful painting of all. A masterpiece. A masterpiece. The greatest portrait of the truth in all art. And your expression now, the very expression which permitted me the final touch, it captures everything. The vivacity of human nature, the profundity of love, eternal passion, eternal beauty, eternal life. I behold it all. I see the truth. Come, my dear, behold the portrait. Come and see yourself, a triumph. Come and behold the truth. My love? My love? Now, now, my love, speak to me. Do you sicken? My love?
She was dead, you see. Who knows how long? Sometime the day before, in all likelihood. But the irony, the delicious irony.
No, do not torment.
I can't help it. You thought she was the vivacity of human nature, the profundity of love, eternal passion, eternal beauty, eternal life. But she was dead. And you didn't even know it. You, the great artist, doesn't know a corpse when you've been staring at one all day. Yet the flies that began to buzz around her knew it better than you. There's the truth for you.
Oh, medicine man, how can you possibly understand? What dost thou know of art? Even you comprehend that in the depths of the uncultivated ignorance of your Philistine mind.
No, maestro, no. You fail to understand something. I own the portrait, the marvelous oval painting. I look at it often, every day, in fact. It adorns my study wall. Portrait of the truth scrawled beneath it. A lady, doubtlessly at one time most beautiful, but it is very clear, most evident, undeniable to anyone with eyes to see that she is dead, and it is the portrait of a corpse.
No! No!
Remarkable, isn't it? A genius who doesn't know a corpse as he watches one adoringly for hours. But I suspect you've tired of his genius. The melancholic spirit of the artist is rather wearing, is it not? But I have good news. I have more children to show you. Perhaps when he is cured, he will indeed paint portraits again. You recall he threatened to paint me. A portrait of me does have some appeal. Perhaps I could mount it in the study, beside the portrait of that dead lady. Or maybe it would be more becoming in the entrance hall, the first thing you see, a testament to my method. That will inspire me to cure him. Let us depart. I hope you're not tiring. The best is yet to come. It will convince you completely of the validity of my method. This way. Follow me. You've been listening to the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater on the Air and our production of The Oval Portrait, adapted for radio by Richard J. Hand. The Oval Portrait was directed by Alex Zavistovich and produced by Ty Ford, with the voices of Brian McDonald, Io Smith, and Alex Zavistovich. Poe Theater on the Air, theme by Greg Martin. The National Edgar Allan Poe Theater on the Air is sponsored in part by Baltimore's own Raven Beer, purveyors of Poe-inspired craft beer. More information can be found on the web at ravenbeer.com. More information on the National Edgar Allan Poe Theater on the Air can be found at poetheater.org. Until next time, this is Alex Zavistovich reminding you that all that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream. Thank you.